I'm here with local artist Benjamin Spinrad, who has just moved to the Troy area. His art was so amazing, I had to get him into the studio for an interview. So first of all, welcome to Troy, Benjamin.
Thank you.
Tell me about what the concept of your art is.
The art is about reflections on the emotional state of cities and their kind of intrinsically tenuous relationship with spiritual, environmental, technological, social, and political progress, illustrated in a kind of quirky, almost Far Side comic-y manner, not to give everybody the wrong impression.
So in many of your illustrations, you know, you have nature kind of subjected to the cities. That's a very common theme that I notice. Can you explain a little more about that? Like there's one with a tree and a glass case on the top of a skyscraper.
Totally. So there's this architect artist from the 70s named, his first name's escaping me, but Hundertwasser is his last name. Super, super German dude. And he was really into like putting trees in his buildings, and he had a lot of paintings that had weird trees popping out of the sides of his buildings. And I take a lot of inspiration from his work, and which was all about the relationship of urban centers encroaching on the environment and how we can do a better job to design cities to have a balanced relationship with the environment that they are, you know, implemented in, potentially, anyway.
So not only is there the divide between nature and cities in your work, but also the divide between, like, the common poor and the elite wealth. Can you talk more about that and what kinds of motifs that you use?
Sure, yeah. So I think urban centers have this interesting relationship to just your general day-to-day social interactions. So the majority of people are middle to lower class citizens who are struggling daily to support themselves and their families, living side by side, people making very large and impactful decisions for giant corporations that have major impacts on those same citizens. So I try to kind of group those things together in the art to bring those things to mind for the viewer so that they can just start to maybe consider those relationships and how tenuous they are.
So I remember vividly in one piece, there's like two halves of the illustration. On the left side, you've got a cluster of tenements surrounding this black hole called the Pit of Death. And then on the other side, you have this long and winding path that leads up a mountain to some kind of religious building. Can you explain the relationship of the religious epicenter in the cities to that Pit of Death?
It's a little hard to sum it all up, but in a thought, I suppose. I guess iconography, the icons that are happening there, I guess. There's a hobo that is in between those two places, kind of your classic hobo with a stick and a bag over his shoulder, and he's smoking a cigarette, trying to consider his options. And he's on this road between like a very homogenized society, which at the peak of is this, like you said, religious center. And then on the other side is this very colorful urban center that are kind of tenements and larger buildings surrounding this Pit of Death. And I guess it's literally splitting the line between that sort of science, technological, urban art expression, and the religious, pious expression, which often seeks to, I don't know if supersedes the right word, but not necessarily align itself towards those same urban capitalistic goals, and trying to put that into a simple, quirky image.
So does the hobo have a choice, really, in the illustration?
The hobo doesn't really have a choice in the illustration. Either way, he's either choice that he makes, he's kind of inevitably driven to the other choice eventually, which is just another thing that I think is often true about life. The longer you do one thing, it can lead back to the opposite of that thing.
It's centripetal forces, mm-hmm. and duality.
Yeah.
So what consideration does the medium that you use lend to the concepts that you're pulling out of your brain? You use a lot of color, which I find very interesting because the illustrations are often very bleak and don't seem to offer much hope, but the colorfulness kind of gives them this life and animation that you're nonetheless drawn to.
Yeah, so I think that's totally astute observation. They are often bleak, and I think the color is in some ways a cultural heritage thing, being half Puerto Rican and seeing the way that a lot of buildings are expressed in Latin American culture. You have a lot of use of like pastel color and a lot more celebration and just quirkiness to the way that things are celebrated architecturally. And I think that bringing that into the drawings that almost always have Western architectural stylings is just another subtle element to the whole thing.
And it also lends it an air of surrealism. And even though many times you're literally depicting like flooding or deforestation, and that is a reality, I know when I look at these things, I feel like, how can this be real? Like, how can this be possible that this is happening? And I find when I look at the colors in it, I do get that surreal feeling again. Like, this isn't quite real, but it is real at the same time. So can you talk about your journey as an artist and where you got started?
Yeah. So to go back quickly on the whole surreal element, I think that just generally day-to-day when considering our relationship to the environment in particular, but all of these things, technology and religion and social dynamics, it's just very surreal that we are in the place that we are in, this hyper Renaissancean self-motivated place where we're all in a bit of denial, more than a bit, and afraid to really take a turning point that we need to take to impact our precarious situation environmentally in particular.
Where did you get started as an artist?
So I've been pretty involved artistically. My mother made art, very Frida Kahlo inspired. That kind of terrified me as a little kid, but that I grew to love very much. And growing up in New York City, she would take me to museums a lot. So I grew up loving Magritte and having, you know, the painting of the train coming out of the fireplace on my wall as a kid, and playing a lot of music and always being very artistically inspired, I suppose. And then eventually I studied architecture, I think, which in many ways led its way to this Little Cities project as I learned more and more about the real world relationship between architecture and environmental and social impact and what I would like that to be, or the thoughts that I had about those relationships, I suppose, rather.
So we're just about out of time, but where can the listeners go to view your art?
Hashtag little underscore bitty underscore cities, which is a mouthful on the radio, but on Instagram. And there's a benspinrad.com you can go to, where you can see a bunch of video projects that I did set design for, and the Little Cities project, and a bunch of other random stuff. So those are the main two places.
And possibly at the Mount Ida open mic, we might see your art on display.
Yeah, always at the Mount Ida open mic. Shout out Basswood Collective.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, Ben.
Thank you very much, Alexis.